Chapter 27. If they do that, we do this. Yosef and Mara worked the next 2 6-days organizing the contingency planning group. Yosef also took the opportunity to begin setting up formal intelligence gathering and analysis. Without checking with college, he named the group the Military Intelligence Unit, MIU, and set it up on the top floor of a 2-story building in Kernford. A clothing shop occupied the bottom floor. Yosef also saw the group as a chance to inch the clans into closer cooperation, so he asked college to contact other headmen to recruit at least one member of their clans to come to Kernford and join the MIU. 6 clans responded, and the group began operation. Mara and her third cousin, Riona Clothen, represented Keelan. They were also the only women, which proved awkward at the first meeting of the entire group, until Yosef sent home one of the 2 Metok men for snarky remarks about women and rational thinking. It took only 2 days for Yosef to determine that 6 of the remaining 9 members of MIU were keepers. Naturally, this included Mara and Riona. From Clan Adras came Owel Brell, a 41-year-old man, tall and wiry, with receding hair and a seemingly endless talent for devious thinking. He was matched by Halwan Ristwin, a 20-year-old Stentese whom Yosef identified as a certifiable nerd and a correspondent with Cadwolf on mathematics. Yosef thought he'd recognize the name when Wellman Stent appointed Halwan as Stent's member of MIU. But it was Mara who made the connection that Halwan was already a candidate for the University of Cadellium's Department of Applied Mathematics. Halwan's main fault was not keeping his attention on the task at hand, but instead wandering off on something that caught his attention but had nothing to do with contingency planning. 2 less astute members were Isla Lewis, Vortig Lewis's daughter, and Gartharid Kenrick, Petter Kenrick's son. However, both were dedicated and bright enough to be useful. Owel Brell emerged quickly a leader of the group, along with Mera, who soon suggested Brill might be the best leader of a larger intelligence operation, leaving her to focus on analyzing Narthani culture and on projecting Narthani intentions. One of Brill's strengths was getting Riona to be productive without letting her irritate him. Mera's cousin was 41, a widow, and the mother of 3 teenage children. They apparently ran their household because Riona felt they were old enough to take care of themselves.
"I've always felt sorry for her," Mara told Yosef. "I'm afraid her husband and immediate family had very traditional ideas about the role of women, more like the northern clans instead of here in Keelan. Ever since I've been old enough, I've realized that Riona was unhappy. Whether due to the situation or her own inherent personality, she always seems to alienate people, often by things she says, without judging or caring about the consequences. I've tried to avoid her at family gatherings when her family participated, but she's one of the sharpest members of the Keelans. Yet she has had no outlet for it."
Yosef spent the first day of MIU operations meeting with the group, mainly giving examples of contingencies they should consider and how all clans, not just Keelan, could respond. He then left them to return to his other projects, only stopping in one morning a week to be briefed on their progress. For the 3rd such summary session, Mara alerted him that the group had something he needed to hear. She declined to give him hints, saying it was best that the entire group told him, although Mara hinted that Owel and Riona were the prime movers. Yosef delayed due to making a stop at the cannon foundry and arrived a few minutes late to the meeting. The others waited around a table.
"About time you got here, Yosef," snarked Riona.
"We've got more to do than wait around for your convenience."
Mara rolled her eyes and a corner of Owel's mouth hinted at a smile. The other members ignored their insolent colleague. Yosef sat in the only empty chair and Mara started them off.
Orwell will tell you what we've discussed the last 6 day.
The address man rose and went to one of the many maps tacked to the room's walls. He stopped at a map of the entire island.
One of the scenarios you gave us was if the Nathani attacked one of the northern or western provinces. For this example, let's assume the target is Pewit, Swavebroke, or Farkish. You mentioned that distance can limit our clans from helping. We'd like to redefine the problem from how to respond to such an attack to how to promote Nathani withdrawal and make them hesitate before any future attempts. What would the Nathani response be if, instead of coming to Pewit's aid, we attacked their provinces? They would have needed to use enough of their men for the Pewit attack to be successful. Therefore, they must also have weakened their remaining forces in the three provinces they control.
Yosef had had a similar thought, but hadn't carried it through. Too many other things always demanding his time.
Where do you see our attacks aimed? Yosef asked.
Brill pointed to the map with a forefinger.
We suggest three possibilities. One is from the coast of Stent into Selfsil province. Two is from the northwest border corner of Iwell in Moorland, and the third from Dornfeld and Keelan into the southern part of Iwell.
And the size of the force we would use? Asked Yosef.
Well, shit, Yosef. It'll obviously depend on how far we want our people to go and how much fighting they expect to run into, said Riona, a snarl of disdain curling her lips.
Yosef again tried to ignore her, but his patience wasn't endless. Mara saw the look on his face and jumped in.
At least 1,000 men, Yosef. And some of the 6-pounder horse artillery whose crews are trained well enough to commit to action.
Yosef went to the map and stared for a minute. He missed Mara giving Riona a frigid stare and a shake of the head, and Riona about to say something back and then restrain herself. Yosef let his left forefinger rest on the first option.
Let's eliminate this possibility. The Selfsilese might be allies of the Nathani, but so far, they haven't seemed very enthusiastic. There's always the chance we might peel them away from the Nathani, so we don't want to get into battles with them where losses of life or property make it harder for them to change sides.
Change sides? They should be crushed along with the Nathani, said a man whose name Yosef forgot.
He did remember that the man wasn't one of the team's Sterling members. Yosef tried to keep his tone civil, but he knew a trace of irritation crept in. If the clans have to fight the Selfsilese, there will be casualties that could be avoided if we can get Selfsil to either be neutral or come over to us. I think it's best to remove option one.
I like the other two options. Iwell is severely weakened from their losses at Moorland City. In this scenario, the Nathani garrisons we learned about by questioning prisoners have to be weakened or are less likely to be aggressive, with so many other Nathani troops gone on the northern clan attack.
For option two, Stent or Oros would have to lead it, since Moorland is still chaotic, trying to settle their leadership vacuum. For the southern option, Keelan would be the lead clan. Both raids would be coup de main.
Mara cleared her throat loud enough to alert Yosef that he'd done it again, except this time he'd used a French term.
Oh, sorry. Coup de main is an attack that uses speed and surprise to reach its objective. In this case, the objective would not be holding territory or inflicting casualties, but to destroy and threaten. If we made the Nathani feel as if the Iwellese were threatened, or even their own territory was, in the original Preti province, they'd be more likely to withdraw from their northern clan attack to bolster defenses at home.
They talked for another half hour before Yosef decided,
I'm satisfied that you've identified a course of action we can bring to Hetman Keelan's attention.
I'll ask the Hetman and a few others to join us here tomorrow morning.
That evening, Yosef watched Mara breastfeed Aeneas on their back porch. It was one of his favorite things to do. As she switched sides with the baby, Yosef asked a question about Mara's cousin.
What's with Riona, Mara? Is she always like she was today?
Mara sighed. Unfortunately, yes. It's one reason I've never had much to do with her. I suggested adding her to MIU both because I thought she would be an asset and because I hope that giving her something important to do might mellow her out. I can predict that she won't last long with that kind of behavior. No one wants to be around someone who spits acid every time she opens her mouth.
I know, yet it was an interaction between her and Owl that came up with the diverting attack idea. I don't know if the rest of us would have seen it without her.
Then get her settled down. If you think it might work, I'll talk to her. Although I don't know whether I should try patient counsel or scream and threaten to dump her from MIU.
Yosef was on time the next morning and half expected another testy comment from Riona, maybe about being early this time. But she ignored him. College Lewis and Dennis arrived shortly after that, and Brill gave an updated version of the briefing from the previous day. College sat with a hand cupping his chin while Brill spoke. Once he raised a hand to restrain a question from Lewis, his attention remaining on Brill and the map, and he only briefly glanced at Yosef.
"Thank you, Sir Brill," said College. "An interesting idea. I like how it both has the potential to restrain the Narthani from future attacks and keeps our men closer to Keelan. Lewis and Dennis, what do you two say?"
"As you mentioned, College, I also like our men staying closer instead of sending them off toward the north," Lewis answered, not knowing what was happening to them or if they had any effect helping the invaded province. "And I'd worry about them being so far away, in case the Narthani turned on us. However, for this to work, we would have to respond quickly after the first word of the Narthani attack. There wouldn't be time to spend 6 days gathering men and supplies, then get them to the Iwal border and across. By then, the Narthani might have destroyed the attacked clan and even returned to Preti, where they'd be in a position to threaten our raiding force."
"I agree," said Yosef.
"The southern option, attacking along the Iwal coast, would have to be Keelan and allies, and the men would have to be within days of the border, all supplies in place and a maneuver plan ready."
Dennis went to the map. "It's 100 miles from Kernford to the Iwal border north of Dornfeld. Starting from Kernford, it would take 3 days to reach Dornfeld without breaking down the horses, unless we have multiple changes of horses."
"Preposition," Yosef almost blurted before catching the English words. "We could have horses and supplies already at Dornfeld or on this side of the Diligon Pass to Dornfeld. That way, we just have to get the men there the fastest way, connect with horses and supplies, and be off toward the Iowa border."
"Wagons," said Dennis. "The men could get to Dornfeld by wagon, so they wouldn't have already ridden a hard 100 miles before even starting the attack. I suggest modifying existing wagons to handle a load of men, or perhaps building wagons dedicated to this purpose. The more comfortable the men, the better shape they'd be in for the attack. If we have wagons to hold 25 men each, that's 40 wagons for 1,000 men, plus supply wagons. We could change horses several times and make the trip in one long day. Give a day to link up with horses and supplies, rest, and be ready to move on Iwell 2 days after getting word of a northern attack."
"Is 1,000 men the right number?" asked Lewis.
"It needs to be enough to brush aside most opposition," said Yosef. "And enough to fight their way back to friendly territory, if they run into major Narthani and Iwell forces. In fact, to help tie down the Iwellese and some of the Narthani, it would be best if option 2 were also implemented."
A raid staged from Moreland territory toward Hounslow? Said College.
Yes, replied Yosef, though a more cautious raid. Since we know there are concentrations of Nathani troops and Iwalese fighters in and around the Iwal capital, the raid's main objective would be to fix those forces in place and secondarily do whatever damage they can to the province.
I'll have to communicate with Stenton Oros to see if they would agree, said College. An attack on a northern clan is only one scenario. Yosef, if your MIU comes up with too many like this, we wouldn't be able to make plans and commitments for them all.
Of course, said Yosef.
However, this one scenario would account for attacks on the coastal clans from Stent on Western Cadellium to, he went to the map, all the way to Bevan's on the eastern tip. We would only have to adjust the details.
College nodded, looked across the map again, and then sat.
Back to the question of how many men. I agree with Yosef's advice that it needs to be enough of a threat to the Nathani, yet we have to balance that with how many men can be away from Keelan.
Bring in other clans, Yosef suggested.
We already have men from six other provinces rotating through Dennis's training site, where they're learning to fight as dragoons and using the new six-pounders. Part of the purpose of this training is getting clansmen from different provinces to work together. Why not expand the role of these men into what we can call a ready reaction force, in the event they're needed for the scenarios we've been discussing?
I like that idea,
said Lewis, with more enthusiasm than for many of Yosef's ideas.
But one problem is, what if we need this reaction force right when a new rotation of men from other clans have just arrived?
They wouldn't have had dragoon training, used the cannon, or trained together. It'd be asking for disaster should they run into major opposition.
Mara had been sitting quietly scribbling notes. Yosef happened to glance her way. She bit her lip and shifted in her chair. She's got something to say, Yosef recognized, but still isn't confident how much she can participate.
Mara, he said, you have a thought?
She looked at him with gratitude and launched quickly into what she was holding in, as if she were about to burst.
Have the rotations overlap? The men are in Keelan for a month, six days. Ask the other clans to have the next rotation come halfway through the previous rotation. That way, there would always be men who have had at least 3 6-days of training.
Khalid shook his head. That would mean the clans would have more men committed to being away from their provinces at any one time. I'm not sure if they would agree.
Perhaps, said Mara. But there's no harm in asking.
Even if they do say no, said Yosef, go back to them and propose that the overlap will be just 2 6-days. That way, their clans would have 100 men away for 4 of the 6 6-days of a month and 200 for the other 2 6-days. After refusing your first request, I'll bet they'll feel they have to agree to the second.
That gives us between 600 and 1,200 men, depending on how the clans answer, said Dennis. The low number isn't enough men. We already have 500 men either in Dornfeld or within range of the Diligon Pass, said College. Gwilimer has had 300 men in the northern part of their province, in case the Iwalese or Nathani come to Dornfeld and on to Gwilimer. Those men would be available.
How many of those have had the training as dragoons and using the six-pounders? Asked Dennis.
College looked at Lewis, who shrugged.
I'll have to check, said Lewis. But at least some of our men. As for Gwilimer, I don't know.
I see Dennis's concern, said College. It would be best if all the men going on a raid into I will have the training. But it may not be possible, if events happen too fast.
I'll communicate with Cadog Gwilimer and apprise him of what we've discussed.
I'm sure he'll support the idea. I'll also ask that the men he stations near Dornfeld include as many as possible with the training. For now, we'll have to be satisfied that most men have had the training, and the others will follow along.
That worries me, said Yosef. It's a recipe for confusion at the wrong times. Keelan is in better shape, because we started earlier and have more experience.
By now, most Keelan fighting men have been trained enough to be considered dragoons. The other clans need to come along faster than just 100 or 200 men at a time. They need to set up their own training programs, either using their own men who've been through the training here, or we could send experienced Keelanders to their provinces for a month to get them started.
College let the discussion go for another 10 minutes, then ended the session.
I'll contact the other headmen with all these ideas and proposals.
Something else occurs to me. We should run a semaphore spur line to Dornfeld. If it comes to carrying out this raid, we'll need faster communication than riders. We should probably also run a line to Rummel on our east coast. Lewis, check with Petter on how long it will take to get new lines operating.
Damn, thought Yosef. That's just too much to do. Here's another case where a functioning telegraph could be vital.
The meeting broke up, with the MIU members going back to thinking up scenarios and contingencies. Yosef heading back to his shops, and Cullich and Lewis walking the quarter mile to the clan headquarters building in Kernford. Cullich acknowledged greetings of clan members the whole way, but his mind was elsewhere.
I wonder whether any Keelander would have dreamed up a plan like this a year ago, Cullich thought. Listening to Lewis and Dennis talk about tactics, logistics, reserves, line of retreat, and other concepts new to them makes me wonder once again about Yosef's influence. Even if it's true that most of the ideas behind this plan came from others, it has Yosef's handprints all over it. Maybe it's simply that he's introduced new ways of thinking, but would these ideas have surfaced if he hadn't come to Kedalium? I doubt it. Thank you, God, once again.
By the next 6 day, College had answers from the other clans. Gwilimer, Meetak, and Hewell agreed to double the number of men sent for training, seeing it as getting more of their fighting men accustomed to new tactics faster and approving the rapid reaction concept. Aedris declined the increase, citing their distance from Keelan, but asking for the loan of 50 experienced dragoons to assist in setting up a training site in Aedris. Stent and Oros were not asked to send more men. Stent would be fully occupied if a northern invasion occurred, and both Stent and Oros approved the concept of the diversion raids and began organizing their own reaction force to carry out the feint into northern Eywild toward the capital Hounslow or other operations.